Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let me go.
Green Acres is the place to be. Just remember that.
Farm Lemon's life for me. Pearson Cross joins us, Associate Dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Associate Professor of Political Science at ULL, the University of Louisiana, Lafayette. Good morning, Pearson. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. And you?
I'm well, sir. Tell me about surprises as it related to the elections on Saturday to you.
Well, the surprise was the strength of Eddie Rasponi. I mean, most people had him slightly ahead of Ralph Abraham, but I mean, he really did well. He came up strong, and together they were over 50% of the vote. So, I mean, this we've really got a Donnybrook on our hands here of a runoff election, and frankly, it's a toss-up. Prior to the primary, it was, you know, really John Bel Edwards to lose. Now it's a complete toss-up, and some people are saying Rasponi may be the favorite.
How important is it, or was it, and is it in the future that President Trump get involved in this? How much did it mean?
I think it meant a lot. What John Cuvion, you know, from JMC Polling said was that there were 200,000 voters from rural parishes that came out and voted in this election that didn't vote in 2015 when the election, when it was down 200,000 people. And it's thought that those are the people that actually pushed pushed Rasponi into this runoff and kept Edwards below 50%.
Were these primarily rural voters, or will we ever know?
Yeah, well, we're going to have to go back and look at the parish by parish, you know, precinct by precinct numbers. But I think the guess is that those were rural voters who were empowered by Donald Trump coming to Louisiana and also reacting perhaps to the impeachment. They wanted to show their support. The easiest way to do that was to go out and vote for the politician most aligned with Donald Trump. And that, of course, was Eddie Rasponi.
I don't have the latest numbers in front of me, but when all added up and all told, would, if Eddie Rasponi had gotten all of the votes that he got and Ralph Abraham got, would he have won the election if it was just the two of?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Easily.
And the percentages would have been?
It would have been 51-47.
So how much work does the governor have ahead of him, and what would that work look like?
Well, he's got to find a way to get at Eddie Rasponi. So you got to spend some money peeling people off Eddie Rasponi. Then you got to spend some money working with, you know, Karen Carter Peterson, Cleo Fields, and all the people who get out black voters. Black voters only came out about the total of the people who voted on election, you know, all added up about 26.5% of that total electorate were African American. Really, when Democrats do well in Louisiana, that edges closer to 28%, 29%, 30%, right? So you got to find a way to get black voters out in the runoff. That's going to be very hard to do, but those are two of the main things he needs.
The fact that it is a runoff, which generally generates far less turnout than does the general election, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. And that's an issue, too, because as it turns out, Republicans are more likely to go vote. The way we look at it for in political science is it has to do with statistical factors, socioeconomic status. People that are more educated, higher, more affluent, are more likely to go to vote. That electorate will probably favor Republicans just slightly in Louisiana. And that being the case, it's going to make it even harder for Edwards to get to 50% in a runoff.
Yeah, so I was going to say advantage Rasponi there, right?
Oh, yeah, big time.
All right, we'll take a break, pick it up here. We come back. Pearson Cross, our guest, Associate Dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Associate Professor of Political Science at ULL, the University of Louisiana, Lafayette. I like to get the audience involved, so if you text me any questions or comments you have at 870-870, you don't have to stay on hold, and Pearson Cross will hear them. 917, back in a flash here on WWL. It is 9:21. We're talking to Pearson Cross, Associate Dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Associate Professor of Political Science at ULL, University of Louisiana Lafayette, Newell. Norman, who's coming up next, is going to have some of the winners on his show, and he'll talk to some of the more respected national campaign analysts, et cetera. Pearson, when it comes to the runoff, is this going to be just the Republicans putting everything they have behind it in terms of money and support endorsements, and the Democrats perhaps not caring as much, or how would that work?
Well, I think the Republicans are going to care a lot because there are a few things at stake here. One is that the Republicans have a supermajority in the legislature within sight. They would love to have that. And then if you couple a supermajority, you know, that'd be 70 in the House and 27, I think, in the Senate. And if you couple that with a Republican governor, then you've got complete control of the redistricting process that's coming up. So then you can set yourself up to elect more Republicans down the road. And you can really tackle some of these things that maybe you want to do, but you need big numbers to do it. So this is a very important election for them.
That can't be an election issue, though, can it, redistricting? Because if you make it that, then it seems as though you're going to draw the lines to favor Republicans, right?
Yeah, it's too early to run on redistricting. And it's not an issue people really understand. And also, it smacks to too many people like gerrymandering.
Right.
So, it's not a great running thing.
So, in terms of attack ads, does this one get ugly? I presume we're going to see debates between Governor Edwards and Eddie Rasponi. How do you see the advertising playing out, the campaigns for either one?
Well, I think Trey Orso and Gumbo Pack, I mean, I'm sure that they are prepared for this eventuality. They've started to see it coming as Rasponi gathered steam. I know they're searching to see what he's done. You have to figure they're going to be looking for something in the area of his business, how he's operated his business, who's he screwed over, that kind of stuff. They're going to be looking for scandal. On the other hand, the Rasponi team's going to be looking to hammer Edwards with that liberal Democrat grow government tax and spend stuff. So I think it's going to get ugly.
Does any of it matter when you get right down to it, or is it all about the R and the D?
Well, for many people, it's all about the R and the D, and more, it's all about the R and the D. You know, it used to be in Louisiana that everybody was a Democrat, but we still had conservatives and liberals, right?
Yeah.
So, but now it's more about the R and D, and it's the teams, and particularly one of the things that I'm real interested in is the identity politics. You know, so Rasponi ran for governor by basically identifying with Donald Trump, who, of course, is a national politician. Didn't really say much about what he was going to do, was just going to be like Donald Trump. And that worked for a lot of people. So we're really seeing some new days in Louisiana politics.
If John Bel Edwards, on the other side of it, gets support from national Democrats, is that going to hurt his chances here in Louisiana? And does he really want prominent Democrats to get involved with the race and say, you need to vote for JBE because of et cetera?
He definitely doesn't want prominent Democrats to get involved with this race, but he wants prominent Democrats to give money.
Right.
You know, so stay away. I mean, the worst thing that could happen to John Bel Edwards would be, you know, Nancy Pelosi comes to Louisiana. So he's going to be doing everything he can to make sure that doesn't happen. But, you know, he might. I could see Obama coming in and doing some spot, you know, New Orleans things that, you know, at the very last minute, if they thought they had to have that big African-American turnout. But he's going to try to walk that line between, look, I'm a Democrat, I know, but I'm not like the National Party. So it's a tougher line for him.
Does an incumbent governor ever go knock it on doors?
You know, only for a stunt. It's just not practical. You know, we only got like 35 days until the next election or something. It's just not, you just can't do it. So, no, that's the answer to your question. And actually, Rasponi did very little real campaigning in the old style. You know, he was home by 9 most nights in this last campaign.
As opposed to Ralph Abraham, who put a ton of time in it, right?
Oh, yeah, Ralph was, from dawn to dusk, he was at it, flying around the state in his plane, you know. But that's kind of a throwback. I mean, I think Rasponi's going to be the new style. You stay at home, you have a lots of money, and you do a lot of ads and do targeted appearances with donors.
Ultimately, why do you think Rasponi did so much better than did Abraham?
I think Rasponi had a very, very simple and effective message. Initially, I knocked him because he didn't have any content in his message other than I like Donald Trump and I want to do what he did here, but I think that message combined with $11 million got his name out in a way that we haven't seen past people with deep pockets do. So he was very successful, and I applaud his team.
I don't know if you and I had this conversation or not, but after the first debate, I said that somehow he got off on the wrong track with his advertising about, you know, Trump stuff in his garage and throwing the football and those kind of things. And during the debate, I saw a much different Rasponi, and I thought that maybe he should change his approach from that to like a polished businessman, and it seems as though it happened. I'm not sure that I had anything to do with that at all, but when it comes to the future campaigning, Pearson, are we going to see Eddie Rasponi more in a blazer and slacks as opposed to the, you know, I'm just the everyday common man throwing the football and so forth?
Well, that's a line that he'll have to walk, right? Because he wants to keep, I'm Eddie Rasponi with a folksy accent and, who plays with his grandkids. But on the other hand, he's a businessman. So he's going to have to walk that. But I think he'll be much more direct now. He's introduced himself to voters. He's been endorsed by Abraham. He knows he's the guy now. So I think you're really going to see a more authoritative Rasponi stepping forward, talking about sweeping John Bel Edwards out and replacing all those Democratic policies with sound business, expertise. I mean, that's going to be his pitch anyway.
In terms of vulnerability, where is the governor most vulnerable? And then where is Rasponi most vulnerable?
Well, the governor's vulnerable on the Medicaid expansion in the sense that there seems to be, $85 million that was spent on people who aren't eligible, so eligibility is an issue there. There's also an issue in terms of Johnny Anderson, that will work against the governor, perhaps, with African-American women of constituency he needs desperately. So, that aide of Edwards, who was accused of sexual harassment. So that's where he's vulnerable. I think with Rasponi, his vulnerability is that he hasn't been in government before. For some people, that will be a bad thing, not a good thing. I think he has no experience. They're hoping he's going to make a mistake. Maybe he'll say something if is he really ready, or is he going to, do what he needs to do? But they're going to have to look because he's not that well known.
And I'm not endorsing one person over the other here, but I do know one thing that Rasponi struggled with was when he said we needed a constitutional convention. And correct me if I'm wrong, Pearson, but I believe he was asked why and what would you change? And he didn't really have an answer for that, did he?
No, he didn't. But again, that's one of those things that, and Greg Hilburn, of Gannett Papers said, look, you want to cut taxes and you still want to fund all these programs. How are you going to do that? And nobody has an answer to that. I don't think anybody's really going to hold it against Eddie Rasponi that he wants to do a constitutional amendment but doesn't know what he wants to change. But he might want to study up just a little bit now in order to have something to come up with.
And along those lines, does it matter if he knows or not, or is it similar to President Trump, where I think everybody will agree, if they can be objective at all, that there was some learning on the job as it approaches, as it refers to that? Do you think there'll be the same level of forgiveness or at least knowledge going into it that, yeah, this guy's not going to know everything, but that's kind of why we're electing him?
I absolutely agree with that. Everybody knows that Eddie Rasponi, that's part of his appeal. I'm not in government. They also know he's a businessman who expects to delegate a lot of that stuff to people who do know. I mean, if you're starting off with distrust of government, you don't trust government officials, you look at John Bel Edwards, he says, oh, well, I know all about it. I've got all the expertise. Right away, you're saying, well, wait a minute, I don't trust you. I want somebody who is going to be a fresh set of eyes, right, who maybe doesn't know that much but is the right kind of person. And that's what Eddie Rasponi is going to say.
What about some other offices on Saturday, some runoffs that are going to occur? Anything surprise you there?
No, actually, it was kind of unsurprising. We saw Jeff Landry, take the Attorney General Schroeder, the Treasurer. We kind of expected a runoff between Ardoin and Collins Greenup in the Secretary of State. That's a rematch. I thought it was interesting that Mike Strain got back in pretty easily. And the big news there was the Commissioner of Insurance, where Timmy Teeple gave Jim Donlan Donlan a pretty big run for his money. I mean, that was a tight race, only 7 points, 6 points separating those people.
And one more question. I'm not trying to be repetitive, but I think it is a different angle on it. And that is, do details matter, Pearson? Do you have to be a wonk at all? Is getting into the weeds one of the bigger mistakes you can make? And you have to keep it to something that's simple, and whether accurate or not, you got to deal with big ideas.
Yeah, big ideas and big values. I think that's really the message for people. You know, most people are not educated about politics. You know, most people are not spending their time poring over the difference, but, you know, a Medicaid funding or any of that. So if you stick to values and integrity and who you are as a person and what your basic beliefs, I think you're always going to be doing fine. Because I think that at the end of the day, most people are going to vote from a sense of where that candidate is rather than what that candidate knows.
This is an interesting question, too, in terms of what would be the expectations for Eddie Rasponi being in office as opposed to, and again, not getting into the weeds on any of this, as opposed to what John Bel Edwards, and I guess, is going to do. And I guess the bigger question here is, it always goes down to, an incumbent has a record to run on or be attacked for, and somebody that's new, well, the only thing you can look at is their private life.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, one of the things that John Bel gets attacked for is the tax cut, despite the fact that a supermajority of the legislature voted for it. I mean, not the tax cut, the tax bill that balanced the budget. You know, that's a real trap for Rasponi. If Rasponi gets in there and you know, cuts taxes with the idea that he can somehow also cut programs or you know, cut fraud and inefficiency and somehow balance the budget, and we could be right back where we were in the Jindal years. And I think that would backfire, quite frankly.
In terms of local races in St. Tammany Parish, did Pat Brister being in a runoff surprise anybody?
I don't know enough about that race to comment on it. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Anything you want to add about the election on Saturday or the runoffs coming up, Pearson?
The runoffs coming up. Well, you know, I think it's amazing what issues weren't. We had a lot of women. Remember, everybody's talking about this was the year of the women. We had 77 women running for legislative seats, but now it looks like we're not going to change the total number of women elected in the legislature, so we pretty much stood pat there. I'm very interested in what was ignored in the election, and that was the tariff issue. Nobody wanted to touch tariffs, but tariffs are really a big deal economically in Louisiana.
But will anybody – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fine.
Will anybody really dig down on that, or will it all be about President Trump or not President Trump?
I don't think Rasponi or Abraham could dig into tariffs without alienating Trump voters, and it made it tough for John Bel as well, because he doesn't want to specifically alienate those people who might like Trump but might also like him. But frankly, you know, this tariff thing is about to really tear up Louisiana in a big way, you know, with farmers. So there are other issues. We got a lot of issues on the hopper. We didn't really talk about them in this election, but at some point they're going to have to do something.
We're going to talk about them with you the more we talk to you in the future, Pearson, because I know we will. You have a good day.
I will too. You as well.
Thank you, sir. Pearson Cross, Associate Dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Associate Professor of Political Science at ULL. Taking a break, coming back. Tommy Tucker, WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.